Luke chapter 18, the Bible says in verse 1, says, "And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on earth?" Lord, we sure do thank you again for the opportunity we have to be here tonight. We thank you for your word. I pray that you'll help us for just a little bit, Lord, as we try to speak on this thought that you've allowed to come into our heart this evening, Lord. I pray that you would help us in this prayer meeting this evening to realize how important prayer is in our lives, Father. Lord, we love you and thank you again for all that you've done for us through this past year. I pray that you'll help us as we go into this new year. Lord, stir our hearts and minds, Lord, and give us a greater zeal, Lord, to do something for you in this upcoming year than we've done in the past year. And we'll give you glory and praise for all that you do. In Jesus' name and Jesus' sake, amen. I want to look at just a few thoughts about prayer, or some facts about prayer this evening. And it is prayer meeting. We've gathered here each week on Wednesday nights. We'll give time for prayer requests. But I hope we pray every day. I believe prayer is most important in a Christian's life. And I don't think we'll ever see anything get done if we don't pray on a regular basis. And so I want to look at just a few things this evening on some facts about prayer. Number one, prayer is real. Prayer is real. I've heard testimonies time and time again of people that have prayed. There's been many songs written about prayer and about praying. And we could just go on and think about prayer and what the Bible says, what others have said, the testimonies that we hear. But prayer is real this evening. And I believe that we as a church, we ought to band together and we ought to get focused on this matter of prayer and band together through the week, even when we're apart, and pray. The Bible says here that in chapter 18, verse 1 said that men ought always to pray and not to faint. You know, if we're not careful, we'll give up when we get to praying sometimes, and God don't respond as quick as we think He should. Can I say prayer is real, but we must believe that God will do what He says He'll do, and have confidence that God hears our prayers. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, the Bible said, "But without faith it is impossible to please Him, for he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." Verse 1 in chapter 11 said, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtained a good report." And we know, reading through the Old Testament, we know that it mentions a lot of times of those Old Testament saints that prayed. They built altars, and they had prayer meetings, and you know, you and I today, as we look around at our nation, we see our nation in a mess. And I believe that, I believe that God has heard some prayers in this past election. I believe, I'm hopefully thinking that God has given us a little, maybe a season of reprieve from all the wickedness that's going on. And I believe if we could go back, we'd find that it's because of the prayers of God's people, those that believed and those that had faith, that God would hear our prayer. I think a lot of times about our nation. I look at the nation of Israel and how God blessed them, and how when they got away from God, they failed to honor the Word of God. And when you dishonor the Word of God, there's a lack of prayer going on in our lives, I believe. And even as a nation, I believe that's the reason that Israel would get in such trouble from time to time they'd get away from the Word of God. God'd give them wicked kings, and then every once in a while God's people would humble themselves, and I believe they'd begin to seek, and they begin to pray. I still like that passage that's on the wall back there, 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, if you and I believe we could relate to that tonight, if we're saved by the grace of God, we're God's people. All the people of the world are not God's children. It's only those that have believed, that have trusted Christ as their Savior, has taken their place as a sinner. I believe that those that have trusted and called on the name of Jesus and believed in Him and received Him as their Savior, I believe we can safely say that we're His people. This evening, He said, if my people which are called by my name, and the Bible says that they were first called Christians at Antioch. Christians, that word Christian really means little Christ. It means Christ-like, and you and I that are saved. It says, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray. I believe that's what God wants us to do tonight, and believe that prayer is real. We've gotten away from this matter of praying about our situation. I mean, we've got a lot of things here at Open Door Baptist Church that we can start praying for tonight, and pray regularly and pray without ceasing. As we look around, the prayer request has been made, the needs of the church, and we know that we're in a slump. We're in a time that we've had some folks that's left, and if we're not careful, it'll get discouraging. Instead of getting discouraged, we need to just hunker down and pray and seek God's will in this upcoming year, because prayer's real. I mean, God will hear our prayers if we'll get to that point and get earnest with Him. Not only prayer's real, but can I say prayer's simple? We complicate prayer a lot of times, but prayer is just as simple as carrying on a conversation with somebody that you love. And we ought to talk to God on a regular basis. We see that a prayer is simple in the offering. It's the offering up of our desires to God and what we stand in need of. You know, not only just for our needs, but just to communicate with God and to get to that point where we can be brought closer and closer to the Lord Jesus Christ and have that relationship that we need with Him. And I believe the more we pray and the way we pray simply to God and we communicate with Him, I believe it'll draw us closer and closer to Him. It's asking because we feel our need and believe that we can receive what we need. I'm glad that we can go to Him this evening. And I'm glad that we can offer up those needs. I've seen times in my own life when I had a need spiritually, maybe, and I kept going to God with it. And then I've seen God answer those prayers a lot of times. We look around, we see a lot of people in trouble this evening. And prayer is so simple that if they realize it, they had their hearts right, and they'd quit looking at their situation, their circumstances, and look to God and trust in Him to hear their prayers and get to that point and place where we need to be, and just simply pray and express our need to God, a lot of times it would happen. A lot of times it would happen. The Bible says if we ask anything according to His will. And we see not only prayer is simple, but prayer is desirable. He said men ought to pray. Men ought to pray just as they ought to work and eat. I mean, just as sure as we get up in the morning, we get ready, and we go to work, there ought to be some words in the time that we leave the house, and when we get to the workplace, we've prayed, and we've got prayed up, and we're ready to go. Men ought to pray just as they ought to work and eat. I mean, it's right to work to meet the needs of our family and our food and the table that we eat, and it's right to do that, and it's right to pray. A lot of times we sit down, if we're not careful, you'll sit down and you'll gobble up your food and won't even thank God for the food that's on the table. And so we see prayer is desirable. Men ought to deal fairly with God as they ought to deal fairly with their fellow man. I mean, We ought to be right with God, and we ought to have our sins confessed. We ought to take care of our sins on a regular basis, and we ought to deal fairly with God, even as we deal fairly with our fellow men. I don't believe that we can be crooked to our fellow man and not be right with them and be right with God. So we see prayer is desirable. We see not only prayer is real and simple, and prayer is desirable, but we see prayer is also a manly thing. Prayer is a manly thing. It's not just for women and little children and to pray, now lay me down to sleep, I pray my soul, the Lord my soul to keep. I mean, prayer is a manly thing. There's something manly about getting down and getting earnest with God and getting on the level that we should and approach God in a right manner, and it takes a real man or a woman to do that. James chapter 5. James chapter 5. James 5 verse 13 says, "Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over them, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord." Let me say something right here, this passage of Scripture. I've said it many times. I don't much believe in divine healers, but I believe in divine healing. And I believe that there's a right way to go about calling for the elders to come together and to anoint them with oil. He said, if is any sick among you, let him call for the elders. If you're sick, if you've got a situation of health issue in your life, let me tell you, the right thing to do, if you want the men or the elders of the church to pray for you, go to them. I mean, stand and say, "I'd like for the elders to pray over me and anoint me with oil." That's what the Bible said. Now, I've heard of situations where pastors would call people out and from the congregation to come forward to be anointed. Now, that ain't what the Bible says. The Bible says, "Is any among you sick? Let him call for the elder." If you got faith to believe that God can heal you, and you got confidence in the elders of the church to come together and pray over you, and there's nothing special about that oil. It's just symbolic of the Holy Spirit, I believe. And I believe that if you'll come honestly and believing, and you got a situation, and if it's God's will to heal, I believe He'll do it. But you've got to do that. I mean, if you're sick and you got a situation, you come up with cancer, I'm not going to call you out from the congregation and say, "Brother, sister, so-and-so, come up here, we want to pray and anoint you with oil." Now, I might say, "Come up here, we want to pray with you." But if you want the elders to anoint you with oil and pray the prayer of faith over you and believing, then it's your responsibility to call for the elders. And I've seen, and it gets like a fiasco or a circus sometimes in these situations where they go to calling them forward and call them out of the congregation, and they begin to anoint them with oil and to pray over them. Nothing wrong with that if it's done scripturally and in the right way. He said, "Is any among you, any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick." I believe we're going to have prayer, faith, and get in one mind and one accord. And I believe there's times and there's seasons when God honors that, and He sees the faith of those that have prayed, and He reaches down and He touches situations in people's lives. I've seen it. I've seen people and heard the testimony. I know of situations that God has healed people. He said, "And the Lord shall, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him." Verse 16 says, "Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." So we know this matter, if God's going to hear our prayers, we're going to have our sins confessed. We're going to have to deal with our sins first of all. Hey, if we got a problem with one another, we're going to have to confess those faults before each other. But, you know, we're going to have the lines cleared if we're going to get in touch with God. If we're going to get in this matter of getting our prayers healed, heard, we're going to have to get in touch with God. We're going to have to get one mind, one accord. We're going to have to get our sins confessed and get them under the blood of Jesus and forgiven. And then God says he'd hear our prayers. Verse 16 said, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. I'm glad that God's promises are true. He said the effectual, the fervent, the heated prayers. You know, if we get to that point and we would get earnest with God and our prayers would get heated, they'd get to that point, they'd be fervent, and God seen our sincerity, I believe we'd have a lot more prayers answered than we do a lot of times. And then he gives an example. Verse 17 said, Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. So we see here the example. Prayer is a manly thing. I mean, Elijah was, and he prayed fervently. God laid it on his heart, told him what to do, and he prayed, and God heard his prayers and withheld rain for 3.5 years. And we know the story of Elijah and the prophets of Baal and how Elijah then again prayed and the rains came. We know how he went up against the prophets of Baal there, and they built the altar, and the prophets of Baal prayed. And then we know that Elijah, they got on the altar, they tore the altars up trying to get their God to hear them, and they didn't get no answer. They got on the altars and stomped on them, and they cut themselves with their lances, and they still didn't get no answer from their God. But here's a man by the name of Elijah. I believe he prayed 68 words, if I remember correctly. And the fire came down from heaven. It licked up the water. It licked up the sacrifice. And God heard his prayer. You know, there wasn't nothing different about Elijah. He was a man subject to like passions just as we are. Yet he prayed, and God heard him. And God is no respecter of person in this matter of prayer. And he will hear our prayer. Prayer is a manly thing. Then we see not only prayer is a manly thing, prayer is a constant thing. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, the Bible says, pray without ceasing. You know, it's a good routine just to get, if you wake up in the middle of the night, pray. You know, that's a good time. Maybe God woke you up to pray. You know, you use those opportunities. If you can't go back to sleep, hey, just pray a little bit. And I promise you, if you can't go back to sleep, you get to pray, and usually you'll be asleep before you know it. And when we get up in the morning, start the day off with prayer. And then as we go through the day, as you're driving to work, pray. Just don't close your eyes. Just be watching. You don't have to close your eyes to pray. But Paul said there in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. Start the day with prayer. Pray as you go through the day. Whatever your job might be, you don't have to pray out loud. Now, I believe it's good to get alone sometimes and just pray out loud. I think kids ought to hear their daddies and mamas praying from time to time. The Bible says if we pray in secret, if we go into the closet and pray in secret, God that seeth us in secret will reward us openly. And I believe if we get to that point and place, hey, we'll get in that prayer closet and we'll call out to God, and we'll get to that point and place where we're not ashamed, hey, where we don't care who hears us. Brother Sammy Allen, I've mentioned him a lot, he was a prayer warrior. I mean, he told me one time, he said, Brother Poole, he said, I've tried to guard my prayer life. He'd get up in the morning, he'd tell them guys that went with him, his closet was the bathroom. Wherever they were at, there's always a bathroom wherever you're at. And that was Brother Allen's prayer closet. And he'd get in it. He'd tell them, saying, "Now, fella, if y'all need to get in the restroom, you better get in there, because that's where I'm going to be praying at." And so he would get up every morning and he'd pray. He's prayed for people all over this country. And he would call their names in prayer. And he'd pray for hours, they say. Sometimes 2 hours. He'd get up in the middle of the night a lot of times at 4 o'clock in the morning. He didn't sleep much. He was a man of prayer. And prayer should be a constant thing. I mean, you don't have to be in the closet, but you do need to pray without ceasing as we go through the day. But you ought to have your special place that you can get alone with God and pray. So we see prayer is a constant thing. And also, prayer is a testing thing. Verses 2 through 6 there, the Bible says, "There was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, 'Avenge me of mine adversary.' And he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, 'Though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me.'" So, you know, a lot of times prayer is a testing thing. It takes faith. I mean, we think that God ought to hear the first time we go sometimes. And sometimes God just lets us, I think, just lets us keep praying just to see if we'll keep trusting. We'll keep placing our faith and have enough faith to believe that if we continue to come to Him and put our requests before Him and pray for these things, God lets things go on for years sometimes. I've heard of people that prayed for individuals for years. And it looked like all hope was gone. But then one day, that individual that some mother or some daddy hadn't give up, and they'd continually come before God with and petition to save that wayward child. And I've even heard stories of people that prayed for a wayward son or a wicked son or a daughter, and they kept praying and praying, and they died. And then later on, after the passion of that individual, that child would come and get saved. It's a constant thing. It's a testing thing sometimes. Hey, God don't answer on our time a lot of times. And it's testing to continue in prayer. After we've prayed and prayed, we could say we pray for our church. But, you know, and we're not careful, we'll give up on the prayers. We'll think, well, it's just as I expected. You know, God ain't doing nothing. Well, we just need to keep praying that God will move in open door. We need to pray for revival. We need to pray for revival. Not this series of meetings that we're going to have, but we need to pray for a move of God at Open Door Baptist Church and not give up and just continue in prayer that God would be merciful and send us a revival. If there's ever been a day that we need revival, it's today. Prayer is a testing thing. Prayer is a profitable thing. Then we see a lot of times, sometimes prayers are not answered because of misplaced faith. Sometimes we got our faith in our prayers instead of the God that we're praying to. If we're not careful, we'll get more faith in the prayer than we have of God, one that's going to answer it. There's nothing magical. It's the channel that God works through, and for you and I, that we can come and approach the throne of grace with boldness. Our faith should be directed toward the object, and that's God, and it's not the channel, which is the prayer. So sometimes prayers are not answered because of misplaced faith. We're placing it in our prayers, or how long we prayed, or where we prayed, when we ought to be, our faith should be in the God that we're praying to, that He's promised that He will answer our prayers. We need to remind Him of that He has promised that He would hear our prayers if we ask anything according to His will. I think a lot of times we get to the point where we're asking things that's not according to His will, the reason our prayers are not answered. We know that God is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all men should come to repentance. So we know that it's the will of God to save people. I believe it's the will of God for our church to grow. I believe it's the will of God to meet with us when we come in these doors if we'll come with the right heart and the right attitude. We come expecting God to do something. Hey, if we prayed before we got here, then we might see God do something. Sometimes prayers are not answered because of misplaced faith. We got our faith in our prayers instead of God. Then our motive must be right or God won't answer. James chapter 4 and verse 3 said, "Ye ask and receive not because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your own lust." What is our motive when we pray for something? What is your motive when a wife prays for the salvation of her husband? Is it so her husband that her husband will receive Christ and that he's not going to die and go to hell? Or is it that she might just have a saved husband? It's just to make things better around home. Our attitude about our motive about why we are praying ought to be right. Are we praying to consume something upon our own? Why do you want a better job that you're praying? I've heard a lot of people pray to the Lord to give me a better job. Why do you want a better job? What are you doing with the finances that He gives you from the present job? Maybe the reason your finances are not going right with your present job, maybe you're not utilizing them in the right capacity. Maybe you're not doing all you can with what God's already given you. Maybe you just want more that you can have more instead of that you can do more. Our motives must be right. Why do we want the things we ask for? Then, let me say, we must be right with our fellow man to have power in prayer. Matthew chapter 6, verse 15 said, "But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." Hey, we ought to check up on ourselves. Are we harboring ill feelings? Are we holding grudges against someone from the past? Someone that's done us wrong? If we got an unforgiving spirit about us, and then we wonder why our prayers are not answered. When the Bible plainly tells us, if we forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Neither will He answer your prayers if you're unwilling to forgive someone, if you're harboring ill feelings in your heart. And I think that's probably why we don't have prayers answered a lot of times. There's a lot of grudges. There's a lot of situations in people's lives where they've had things and they're holding aught against their brother for something. Well, God's a just God, and He's a righteous God. And I believe if we'll get our hearts where they need to be, hey, we forgive those that's trespassed against us, then I believe we're getting in pretty good shape. If we got our sins forgiven, hey, we've forgiven those that's done us wrong, then I believe we're getting in pretty good shape to get our prayers answered. Many prayers are not answered because we're too impatient. There in Luke chapter 18, verse 1 that we read. And He spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not faint. So we know a lot of times we get impatient. We pray two or three times and we don't get no answer and we just sort of put it on the back burner. You know, we pray that the Lord will do something around the church and we don't see it happen. 3 months, 4 months. We see God don't answer this need that we have. We put it on the back burner. We just quit praying for it. Many prayers are not answered because we're too impatient. Hey, we're living in an impatient society today. Everybody wants instant everything. We've got instant oatmeal. We've got instant grits. We've got instant this and instant that, and we want instant answered prayers a lot of times. And it's not God's will sometimes to answer them as soon as we ask them. He may be testing our faith to see if we are believing that He can do exceeding abundantly above all that we're able to think or ask. So we see many prayers are not answered because we're too impatient. God doesn't always answer our prayers with a positive answer because a negative answer is best sometimes. Hey, He's not going to answer our prayers the way that we think He should every time. Sometimes He knows He knows everything. He sees the big picture. He knows where we're at and where we're headed. And sometimes a negative answer is best for our situation than a positive answer. And then let me say lastly, sometimes it just may not be God's will to answer our prayers. If you ask anything according to His will, He said it'll be done. Hey, it might not be God's will for you to have a new house. It might not be God's will for you to have a new car. Hey, it might not be God's will for you to have a better job. You know, money ruins people sometimes. I know people's lives right now that are miserable because they got to making too much money and they couldn't handle it. Now their families are falling apart. Hey, some of them gets on drugs. Some of them gets on alcohol. Some of them gets to the point they get to making so much money and God blesses them. And then they don't give back to Him. They get stingy. They get to making too much money to tithe. You know, it's okay as long as you're making $50,000 a year to tithe on $50,000. But then when you get to making $500,000, oh, I'm making too much tithe on that. I can't give that much money. Well, you know, God gave it to us. Not just that, anything. May not be God's answer. It may be to your detriment for Him to answer something. Some people pray about going to school and God shuts the door. Maybe that wasn't the school God wanted you to go to, a young person. You know, maybe God just shut that door because He knew that it was going to be harmful to us. Sometimes God don't answer prayers because it's not His will. And we're going to get to those times and places. But you know, I believe if we get spiritually minded and we'll pray and realize this matter of prayer is real, and God will hear our prayers if we get to that point and place. This is prayer meeting night, you know. And we come and we try to sing some songs, we try to preach a message. But you know, we ought to come in an attitude of prayer. We ought to come to every service, but even on prayer meeting nights. I believe, you know, we fail a lot of times. We just don't pray at church like we should even. You know, we'll just come in and we're in a hurry to come in and get done and get out. When sometimes it's best we just take our time with God. Sometimes it might just be at home. You might just ought to just take your time. Get in that secret place. And pray till God gets through with you. You know, our praying is about 5 minutes, you know, sometimes if it's that long, 2 minutes. If we're not careful, we'll miss this matter of what prayer can change our lives and change our attitude toward this world. I believe we could pray for a burden. I believe it's God's will that we have a burden. So that's a good thing to pray for. Pray, Lord, give me a burden. Give me somebody in my path this week. I wonder how many of us, honest, if we'd be honest this evening, that we prayed that God would put someone in our path this week that we could have witnessed to. Honestly. Honestly say that. I wonder if we've really prayed for somebody, God to save somebody in our services. I believe God wants to save people every time we come in here. And it starts in the pulpit, and it goes to the pews. And I believe God will honor a praying church. Some facts about prayer this evening. Do you pray? Do you have a desire to pray? You know, prayer is like anything else. It takes practice. It takes practice. The more we pray, the better we'll get at praying, I think. And the more we'll get to know God better, and what we get in His Word, and His Word tells us how to pray and what to pray for. Our spiritual condition, our spiritual temperature, we ought to pray, Lord, let me be the best that I can be. You want to be the best Christian you can be? Pray. Pray, God, make me a better Christian. Give me a greater burden. Give me a greater love for people. And I believe that God will honor that. The reason we don't have a burden sometimes, we just don't pray for a burden.